three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, actually on time, live from the Bog in Saukville for the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. And we finally get to what Mina Kimes had to say. Took us a while to get here. We've read the newspaper.
Yeah, we have.
We've had conversations with Evan Cohen.
Coffee and polos and grocery stores.
We've gotten new clothing. We've located the coffee cups. Now, Jesse, did you see this live on television? I saw it on social media.
I saw it on social media first, and it was from NFL Live on ESPN yesterday, as they, along with every other show on planet Earth, was reacting to the Jeremy Fowler anonymous survey, players, coaches, and executives ranking the top 10 quarterbacks.
And we all
think Fowler ever gets to the point where he's like, oh, blank, I got to get this done before the 4th of July. And you think he just scrambles? Or you think this is like, when do you think he starts this process?
Probably after the, right, shortly after the season ends.
I think he surveys everybody at the combine.
Oh.
That's a good theory.
I think they go to dinner at, what's it called, in Indianapolis, and he surveys.
They don't do ice cream, so we don't know.
Or he might make it up.
St. Elmo's.
It's got a lot of horseradish in it.
Shrimp.
Wait a minute. What?
They serve ice cream. I remember I had an ice cream sundae there, I think.
Like, one of the perks of it being an anonymous survey is, like, if someone
people
doesn't submit
lie.
It, he can just be like, well, I think person X would have said this. He doesn't strike me as someone who would do that, but if he needed
sounds
to.
Sounds like he kind of does from
if he needed to get the assignment in, there would be an easy way to go about it. No one would be able to be like, that's not
right.
True.
I think the reason why this has some authenticity to it is because he talks to as many NFL executives and coaches and assistant coaches as he says he does.
Well, and frankly, I think the list is fair, too. Yep. People, I know Packer fans and Mina are all like up in arms about it. And like I said yesterday, 7 to 15 is I don't have a coin with me today, but I mean, it depends on, as Jesse said, what kind of ice cream flavor. There's different things that you can like. Did you not say that earlier in the show?
I did not. No.
Fine.
Oh, I thought you were reciting his analogy.
No.
Whatever. The bottom line on it is, I think there is, when you don't have the pelts, and I think there's a kind of a standard thought process amongst a lot of NFL folks, there is a lot of variance to it, and it is interesting in why I think fans and media folks, A, it's July, but B, I think you like to get some insights from outside. You don't want to just sit here and it be, oh, this guy's this, this, this. If you're in Chicago, you're going to be all glazy about Caleb. Well, we're not. We're going to look at – I look at things, and I think even with Jordan, as much as I think he's improved, there are some holes that have not been filled. And when you have that, you leave that up for debate amongst a lot of other people. And I stand by what I told Evan. If Jordan Love wins that game, he's in the top 10, and mm-hmm. Caleb Williams isn't.
I agree.
But he didn't. Caleb put up highlights in the biggest games, and as Aaron Rodgers taught us a long time ago, you play for pay in the regular season. The legacy is what happens in the postseason. And unfortunately, Jordan's had 1 3/4 great, one game and about 3/4 of really good football. And then he also played really well in the first half of the Bear game. He's only gotten one win, and that is how quarterbacks are judged in this league.
So we would agree that Mina Kimes is a Jordan Love fan.
Yes.
She is a stan, if you will.
I think glazing. For him. I think she's a little bit of a glazer.
So with that in mind,
you disagree?
No, I agree. I think she is very. She loves all the analytical numbers that Jordan Love has. She is a She is a proponent of him. She has taken him on as a bit of a cause for her.
I think Mina Kimes has a wise football mind. She dives deep into the analytics and Jordan Love's style of play. She supports the style of play that he brings to the quarterback position as value.
What is his style of play?
Consistency.
Consistency with what?
Accuracy.
Okay, we said the exact opposite of him 2 years ago.
And he got better in the second half of that season, and he's been better statistically since. And all the metrics that we've seen, Mina, she'll say it here. If we let her say it, we'll hear what she has to say.
Stop jabbering. Could let Owen run the audio.
We will do that. I think in the interest of fairness.
You flipped me off again?
No, I did the jabbering.
Jabbering.
Universal sign for jabbering.
Is that what that is? She's proselytizing. She is looking to convert people to the Church of Jordan Love. I just think that is where she's at. She's that big of a believer in him. That said, here she is on NFL Live.
I am puzzled by the omission of Jordan Love, who I actually have atop his division. It's really hard to find a meaningful quarterback metric where he doesn't rank top five, even. I mean, he was third in QBR, second in EPA per dropback, third in DVOA, which counts for opponent. And something that's brought up a lot with him as a criticism is taking care of the football. He had a lower interception rate last season than 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks on this list, so I don't think that perception matches reality. To talk about what I see on tape when I watch him, an aggressive, talented thrower of the football who can make every throw, all parts of the field, who compensates at times for what I thought was a pretty average at best run game and not a group of road beaters at receiver. He just looks like a top 10 quarterback to me, the kind that lifts up everyone around him. So I think he belonged on this list, and I was surprised that he didn't make it.
Tausch, what do you view that as?
A
lot of letters, by the way. EPA, QBR, DVOA.
She's big on DVOA.
That's where she's at, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that stuff is great, and I am not going to ever be that guy where I'm going to be breaking down DVOA and EBITDA and all that. That's just not where I'm at. But as far as what you want to look at, we have broken down Jordan Love, I would argue, probably more so than anybody. And he's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I care about. He's improved. And the little things that I always look for is the command of the offense, understanding he has got complete command of what Matt LaFleur wants. Matt LaFleur trusts him. Those things have to be earned. He's done that. Now is when I hope he is a rocket ship. I hope that he now has all this and we don't have to worry about all the weather forecast. And, I don't know if this engine's going to fire the right way. We know that this is all of that work has been put in. It's time to fire. And you can have a great-looking rocket. You can ask Elon. I know you won't, but I will. You can ask Elon Musk, well, what's this deal with this? And, well, if all of these things are set up perfectly, but you never launch. I can't do it because of this. And, I can't do it. At some point, you have to have the mission accomplished. He's getting to that point. Like, he has done all the right things. He's built it. He's found the right metals. He's getting all of the right propane or whatever they're using to fire that stuff off. I don't know. But he's gotten all that going. But at some point, you have to go and explore with that rocket. Or what the hell are you doing building this great rocket? Now it's time. It's time. This year is his time. And Mina can say, well, there's DVOA and all. Yeah, cute. That's great. Show me the rocket. Show me the launch. Show me what you got going. You are a filthy animal. You are a filthy animal. I'm using an analogy, Jesse.
Yeah, really well.
This, I think it is. Because all of that is, this is a results business. And Jordan Love is building the right way. The Packers are doing it, and you can't. None of us expected him to go to Mars in 2023 or 24.
2026, you want him?
I want him at least circle getting up there. Let's do some. I don't want it to be a boom boom. I want this to be a sustainable, long running rocket. And the case is, he is positioned
like the International Space Station. He is up there.
He has positioned himself for a really good launch. Now it's time.
Favre had already.
I know you don't feel good about that one.
No, I do. It's not my fault. I'm not going to.
I've
teetered enough today. I'm not going to go any further.
Favre had already reached the stratosphere when you came along as a rookie in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously Aaron Rodgers took off while you were teammates with him. He wins the MVP in 11. That's the season after you retired.
Mm-hmm.
When did his rocket actually blast off from Cape Canaveral or Kennedy Space Center or whatever it might be? When did you see it actually? Because we saw the potential of it being able to go out to outer space plenty of times. But when did you feel like actually took off?
Two things. The actual understanding how many people are responsible for building that rocket and getting it up to the launch site and to find the land to do it. All of those things happened, right? And the acknowledgement, I've told you this 100 times because it was a moving moment for me as a player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
When he got knocked out of that Detroit Lions game with a concussion, and I don't think he fully understood at that point yet that how much everybody needs him. We lost that game 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
Flynn came in. And now Flynny went up, played a hell of a game up in New England. We got beat. But Aaron Rodgers knew then, there's a lot of people that are counting on me to get this blanking rocket launched. I can't not be there. And the launch point, to me, you could go through all of those games, Bear game, the Giants, all the games mm-hmm. that led up to winning it. But when that rocket launched, it was in Atlanta.
Yes. Yep.
And he showed us we could take this thing to whatever planet. I don't care if Pluto's a planet, a star, whatever they call it. We're going there because that's where we need to go to get it. And this rocket's ready. Y'all either get on with me or don't, but I'm going. And everybody went.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that moment happened. And then all the other stuff that came. And then it didn't matter if we fizzled out and the rocket blew up. He had a bunch of folks that were chomping to get in that rocket with him. What do you think of that?
See, I thought
that was really good.
And the launching pad in Atlanta was exactly what I expected you to say. I do love that story, though, from the 2010 season of him recognizing his importance, because that was a watershed moment. Even though Matt Flynn went and played pretty well for you guys in New England the following week, not good enough to win.
I really wish that they would have camerized that game in New England, because it's still to this day, fan experience as a player, my favorite thing that ever happened against the Green Bay Packers, when that big fella rumbled past Kuhn and all these other guys on special teams. And I'm sitting there like, I can't show that this is freaking awesome, but this is unbelievable. You got a 290-pound reserve lineman taking a kick and barreling people and outrunning guys. And I didn't want him to score a touchdown, but I ain't going to lie to you. If he did, I would have said that is unblanking believable.
Tip the cap.
It was the most unbelievable thing I ever seen on a football field, and I wasn't playing. It was just amazing to watch.
How important is it that Jordan Love has that rocket ship moment then this season, his Atlanta?
At some point, you have to go. And I understand.
Like Chicago, I thought might have been it in the first half. You know, a team that's all banged up, and he puts the he throws 3 touchdown passes, and things are looking so well. And then obviously it doesn't end up being that.
What was the Dallas playoff game?
That was a pleasant surprise from a first-year starting quarterback.
But that wasn't a rocket taking off.
You tell me.
I mean,
you were criticizing the analogy, so I think you should have to.
I just thought "show me the rocket" was an interesting choice of words.
It takes a lot to get into any type of dangerous, and football's a dangerous game. That's why I like the analogy. It takes a heck of a lot more to say we're going places nobody's ever went. Like everybody, well, Jason won't, but a lot of people say, "I'll go on a flight to Atlanta." Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, it's great. I'll do that. I'll go on a flight to Dallas. Yep. I think most people would say, yeah, no, you don't have to like it, but you'll go. How many people are going to say, hey, fellas, head down to Giga, Texas. We're taking a rocket ship and we're going to Pluto. 2%? How many people are going to jump on that rocket? I'll tell you one thing. If you show me that you're there, a lot more people are going to go. He hadn't had that moment yet. I don't have a paper to throw down, so I just ripped my cord on there.
This segment brought to you by Discount Liquor and by NASA. All right, Jesse, it's time for trivia. What is the category? I assume space travel. And what caller would you like?
I wish it would have been. No, tonight is the MLB All-Star Game. So today's trivia category, MLB All-Star Game history. Some
Tug McGraw.
Significant moments since the year 2000. Some significant moments since the
year 2000. They were saying 1971 is the greatest All-Star Game ever. 25 Hall of Famers in the All-Star Game in 1971.
It's pretty
significant. Is that going to be on there?
It is not. No.
Okay. Good. Caller number 20. Caller 20 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 20 plays Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on live from the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. It's nice in the shade, though.
It's not bad at all.
It is not bad.
I'm guessing it's hot on the course.
I would think so.
Here at the Bog in Saukville. Time now for Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Cool down with the summer shake from Cousin Subs. Enjoy four delicious flavors, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and mint. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Vortex Golf. Trivia winners this week receive a hat, ball marker, sticker, and a blade rangefinder courtesy of Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Just curious, since they have the strawberry shake at Cousins right now, is the berry, is that reserved only for blueberry?
No,
or
I think
can I say
got,
strawberry?
You can say whatever you want.
Raspberry.
We got raspberry bushes.
Yeah, I don't think
bed.
It works
yeah,
as well.
I prefer blueberry, but because it
rolls off the tongue. Yeah,
exactly.
But you do like saying raspberry.
Do
right?
I like spelling things phonetically, yeah. Yes. That's a weakness of mine.
Time now for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Bill in New Berlin. Bill, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing?
Morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
You get to choose one berry. What are you picking?
Ooh. I'll go strawberry.
Strawberry all the way. Yeah.
Strawberry's the most versatile,
good to have you.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those Michigan blueberries at Sendix right now. Pretty phenomenal. I might. Yeah, you know, I just saw Sendix on the way. I might swing in there and grab a load of them fresh Michigan blueberries.
It's a good idea.
You should do that.
I will.
Good luck. Nice. Yeah. And good luck to you, Bill, in Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. Question number one is this. Following the controversial 2002 All-Star Game tie in Milwaukee, Major League Baseball used which of these slogans promoting the All-Star Game in 2003 when it implemented the new stakes of winning league receiving home field advantage in the World Series? Was that slogan, "This time it counts," "This time it ends," or "This time I'm keeping it off"?
Let's go, "This time it counts."
We would also accept it, something to grab onto. Question two.
We'll be having a conversation with someone about that after the show.
Is this? Which Gold Glove Minnesota Twins outfielder robbed Barry Bonds of a home run with a highlight reel catch in the 2002 All-Star Game played in Milwaukee? A lot of focus on that 2002 game.
I mean, that's the
it's
most.
Only three questions.
The most. No, a lot happened in that 2002 All-Star game.
All right, Bill. Was that Minnesota Twins Gold Glover, Carlos Beltran, Joe Mauer, or Torrey Hunter?
I think my initial instinct before hearing those was Torrey Hunter, so I'll go Torrey Hunter.
Yeah, are those other guys even – Joe Maurer was a catcher.
Joe Maurer was a great catcher for
Carlos Beltran, was he an outfielder? First baseman,
Beltran was an outfielder, but he did not play for the Twins. He played for the Mets, the Royals, the Astros. Mm.
Okay, well, Bill, you're two for two.
Yeah, I didn't think Beltran played for the Twins.
Yeah, there you go. Jesse, question three.
Killer Bees.
Is question three hard?
Remember the Killer Bees from the Astros?
Bagwell,
Berkman, Biggio.
Berkman shouldn't be in there.
Berkman was, like, really good. Beltran.
I know, but it's Biggio and Bagwell. Come on.
It is. He's right. They play together. All right, question three. Bill, Killer Bee
from Andy Murray
New Berlin.
In the big four.
Lance Berkman entirely belonged in the Killer Bee. They made the World Series when he was their best player at 04.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that he is not a nice player, but he wasn't Bagwell and Biggio.
Bill, question three.
Can't argue with that.
Which Milwaukee Brewers player had three plate appearances and played in right field for the National League during the 15-inning marathon All-Star game in 2008 at Yankee Stadium? Okay, go back into your memory banks. Yeah. 2008 All-Star game at Yankee Stadium, 15 innings, three plate appearances for Jeff Jenkins, Corey Hart, or Ryan Braun?
Ooh, you know, before you gave it to me, I was thinking Corey Hart, so I got to go with my gut. I'll say Corey Hart.
Go with your gut. Welcome back, 1265 Analytics. They have a position for you. Your gut held up pretty well on question two and question three.
Ryan Braun did start that game. Corey Hart played like nine innings.
Are you like an All-Star Game nerd? Like, do you love the All-Star Game?
No. I looked this up. The 2008 All-Star Game was my favorite one because that was when I was in high school. I was umpiring a Little League
game. You umpired an All-Star
Game? No, I umpired a Little League playoff game, and then I raced home because I wanted to see Ryan Braun and Corey Hart in the All-Star Game. So I raced home, and then I got home in like the fifth inning, and then ended up being.
Oh, you got 10 innings.
I got 10 innings out of it. It went to like midnight. It was a wild. It was like the final year of old Yankee Stadium. It was a really cool All-Star game. So, that one stands out in my memory.
So the one that stands out for me, 1983, Old Comiskey Park in Chicago. It's the year after the Brewers went to the World Series. Robin Yount starts at shortstop. He is on base when Fred Lynn hits a grand slam off of Atlee Hammaker.
Oh, lefty from the Giants.
Yeah. I wonder if
why has all of this changed so much? Why was it so important?
Should I let Bill go, or Bill, you want to stick around?
No, Bill.
For this discussion?
Bill. Why did the All-Star Games used to be so important and mean so much, and now nobody? Nobody cares. Why is that, Bill?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. Maybe it's just that old school mentality or something like that. I'm thinking, you know, with Pete Rose running over his friend at catcher and
Ray
everything.
Ray Fosse. So, yep.
I have a few theories.
No, we're not interested in your theories.
I know.
I am.
Thanks for playing, Bill. Good luck in the drawing on Friday. We appreciate you joining us.
Now,
for
could
trivia.
Bill win this and the Steinhoffel's 10-year sleeper? Can you win two things in a week?
I would have to check the official
contest. I would think they're two
rules.
Separate contests.
I believe the Steinhoffel, because the Steinhoffel's prize is so big.
It's a biggie.
That would rule him ineligible.
Really?
But I don't know for sure, so I'll have to check the official contest rules.
Okay.
ESPNWisconsinContest.com. I think the All-Star Game, and this is before my time as a conscious sports fan, I think the All-Star Game used to be the one time of the year where you had National League versus American League besides the World Series.
So you don't think it's about the new, I'm going to protect myself, financial. You think it's all about interleague play killed the All-Star Game?
I think that's part of it. I think interleague play led to killing the All-Star Game. I think more games being on television as a whole killed the All-Star Game.
Am I crazy to say let's get rid of interleague play? Because I loved when the All-Star Game was big, and I do agree with you. I remember the first time I think my dad mentioned something about All-Star Game. I thought we got all those players. Now that the Brewers got it. Oh, that is sweet. That was not the case.
How long did that thought last?
Not that long.
And, like, before there was
I've had enough. I think we get rid of the
Well, I think it has to do with the amount of games that are easy to watch, too, because, like, you can watch Shohei Ohtani almost every night between all the streaming
platforms. There's something about if the Brewers don't get to play the Yankees and then Aaron Judge, it's like, I get to go see Aaron Judge. Like, there is something to that.
Like, I think it was cool when the way they used to do interleague play, where you played somebody once every 3 years.
Plus, that scarcity makes it a little better in the postseason. I think Major League Baseball should re-examine that and take a look, because I think it would add more intrigue to All-Star Weekend, and it certainly would with playoffs.
I think baseball became a lot more
watered down, localized.
You only care about your local team more now than ever because you play the division less, because they balance the schedule, and then you play every team, which makes those series, when you go to Yankee Stadium or Fenway, they mean less.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember the old days, you'd pull up and you'd look at the averages, and sure enough, Ricky Henderson, and that, those days are gone. So I don't want to sit here, because there are people, you're an old fudder-dudder. Maybe. But what I would say is, I'm not asking for this. I don't want it to be. Just, I don't get any info.
For those of you listening on the radio, Tausch is holding the newspaper.
I don't get any info. I don't get to see who's leading the league in home runs and batting average. Like, I understand. Those days, long gone. Mm-hmm. But are we really going to be that bummed if we don't get to see the Chicago White Sox once a year? Like, Nashville, I don't care. No, I'm all right with it.
I think you play one division and you play them once the old
it's
days
over.
Of the 2000s.
I want to be done with interleague play.
Completely,
I want it over.
Not even
Dunzo.
The way they started it when they first unveiled it.
No. Here's the deal. Because on Rivalry
on
Weekend,
yes.
We'll go play the right. Twins. That is it.
Thank you.
That's it. You give us a Rivalry Weekend and make it a big boy Rivalry Weekend, and then interleague play is dead after that. That might be the solution to the All-Star Game.
And then you got to play more divisional games, so you know more.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to return
that? I'm kind of sick of the Pirates beating us. I want to get a little crack back at it. I'm sure the Cardinals feel the same way. Let's go.
I think baseball.
I don't want to play Toronto in September.
No.
Like, I'm all right with that. Or Baltimore. Give me the Cubs. Give me the Cardinals. Give me the Pirates at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a really good idea by me. It's over.
Jason, did I just give him that idea and he just claimed it as his own? Because I'm pretty sure that's what just happened.
You didn't have the force to take it, though. You didn't want to go there. Did you want to say that? You want to get rid of interleague play?
I think I said it, and you said you agree with me.
You
said it a little more emphatically, holding a newspaper, and then claimed the idea as your own.
It feels good.
You got to slam the newspaper.
We got to go back.
Doesn't that feel more like
lies that I could have used you whacking?
It's kind of like Judge Wapner. Now there's a new judge that's on the show that you guys run on at the Everlight Solar Studio. You give that gavel. Like, I am.
We've got to get rid of interleague play,
get rid of
balancing the schedule, play more divisional games so you know other teams regionally a little bit more. Makes
and it's good
more
for the
compelling.
Environment, too, just like Everlight Solar. So we're all good. This music is going long.
Great job by Owen to keep the trivia music going. That is Will Dietouch Trivia, believe it or not.
This presented. Makes me believe that, that when Jesse says that we run out of music, that doesn't actually happen. This is about as long as we could go.
I don't think he's ever said that about trivia, but maybe Owen just managed to loop it back. All I know is that was trivia presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf. Whoa, Nelly.
You want to turn?
No, I'm good. Is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse, I closed my laptop. How are they treating
that
the
car? That car is scorching.
Huh?
Those wheels are going to be burning. For those that don't know, players exit interview. You're heading for a vacation.
No, that's
those
not.
Those tires are
that's
squealing.
Not why. I didn't want to sit down anymore. I'm a
what
better
does that have
host
to do with
standing
your
up.
What does that have to do with
because
your laptop?
Because I was sitting down to use it.
You like, could look this. Could you not stand and look at the?
No, look. That's I'm just telling you why,
and I'm telling you what I think.
You're telling me. Oh yeah, don't tell me what I think. That was still one of our better moments last.
A lot of agreement in the YouTube comments. Everyone says I look great in a black polo, ESPN Milwaukee polo. No, further,
really? I'm gonna fact check.
No further questions at this time.
Well, I know that they felt
text Becca and ask her what she thinks.
I know there were some that felt like.
And then we'll put the white shirt on you and see what she thinks.
I am going to show you this picture that I took with the River Falls Championship Trophy.
But how many months ago was that?
It was January.
Okay, well, that I'm not going to go down that road.
Time now.
That's right, you're not.
For Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
What am I supposed to say about that picture with you and the trophy?
That I look
God, you look,
I look
great.
Slim. That does not look like what I'd look
you
like in
real
life. You
think it's the polo, or do you think it's the tan pants against the polo?
I think if you really feel thin, you always tuck your shirt.
Well, I don't feel thin. I just happen to look thin in this picture.
Like, when you were in the peak of your – and I don't remember the name of the partner because they're not – so I'm not even going to bring that up.
Yep.
You're tucking that shirt in. You were sauntering around like you were –
I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
It was more strutting than sauntering, I think.
No, I think you sauntered.
Whoa, Nelly. I don't get to do that very often.
Just wait a second. Why doesn't Woen get to do Woen? This is a producer thing. This isn't a host thing.
Because I have something I'm really fired up about, so I took the lead.
So you're establishing that Jesse is a host today.
Pretty much.
He's definitely a host. He hasn't produced
anything. Comments are all fired up about that, too.
That's what I was driving at with my question.
This soccer update brought to you by Discount Liquor. Stop by their Milwaukee or Waukesha locations for all your tailgating needs before 1:30 in the afternoon today.
Because is there a game today?
Why the heck are we playing the semifinals hosted in the United States?
Well, what time is it in France?
It doesn't matter that Spain and France are playing in Argentina tomorrow.
Oh, Jason's going to get on your ugly American
deal. It is a
here.
Tuesday and a Wednesday. The only thing happening is the All-Star
night.
Game.
Should be
why
at
in
night.
The United States are we playing these games in the middle of the week at 2 p.m. Central Time?
I would love for FIFA to let me take them over. I don't know anything about soccer, and I don't care. Oh, if you're going to be corrupt, again, allegedly, this is tailor-made. Who the hell is scheduling that? Wednesday and Thursday are the deadest days in sports. Play them at night. What are you doing playing at 2 o'clock?
7 p.m. Central, prime time.
Yes. Yes.
There's no reason not to. Well, the reason is they don't care about the United States audience. They only care about the European audience.
Oh, they like
audience.
That American TV money.
And they
though.
Want they yeah, want they everyone like in American England and TV France money. And everywhere over there. They want them watching at 8 or 9 o'clock their time. And
let
it's
me tell you something about
just fine.
They will watch it. I spent time in London 6 weeks at a crack. And I went and watched games at pubs. They don't care what time that
you
is.
You were in London for six
yes.
weeks?
Yes.
Felt like it.
They ended up, you go to these pubs, they don't care what time, this is their life. They're going to watch, if we want to put this on to generate a big audience for, by the way, these network, they're up for renegotiation, getting these monies, and you don't think
Fox got a big bargain on it, though, because of that whole Cutter thing.
Wow. Sure.
Yeah.
The U.S., they want these broadcasting dollars.
Well, they're not getting them this time anyway.
2 o'clock, they'll get a good number. They would probably 30 to 40% higher if it was at 7 or 8 o'clock. Today.
Right, but Paris
here.
Is
Paris is
seven
watching.
Hours ahead of
it's
us.
It's at 9 in the morning. It's at 9 at night. It's at 4 in the morning. Parisians and French folks are going to be up watching it.
Parisians and French.
Who else
folks.
Is in this? Denmark?
No.
You don't think the Danes no. are going to be up? They'll watch
Denmark.
Too.
Spain and France today.
Oh, and España?
Argentina.
You don't think
you are exactly the kind of American soccer fan who's not tuning in? So what does it matter what time?
If it was at 8 o'clock tonight, and
you wouldn't even watch your own country's team.
I did watch the last game, and we stunk.
Tausch is right. If this was on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night and Thursday night.
He's not
it would
watching.
Have a massive number in the United States.
No, I would watch tomorrow night. I don't have a lot going on tomorrow night, so I would. Tonight,
exactly.
I can't. And I wouldn't. Tomorrow night, I could and I would. But it should. Probably not.
Would you watch it with a fox? Would you watch it in a box?
There is no reason to cater to England and España and wherever else. Like, just to me, it doesn't make any sense. 2 o'clock? That's when you watch Maury Povich. That's Maury Povich.
Is this interrupting your Maury Povich?
It's
watch?
Up against like Dr. Phil in the afternoon. That's the time slot.
He's still got a show?
I don't know. That's the time slot they're putting the World Cup semifinals in. Yeah. I thought one of the perks of hosting the World Cup is that you get to play the games in primetime in your home country.
Oh, and by the way, that's how it's 180 degrees. It's like they're playing in Qatar back in the old days. Maybe they want to play it at night so that they don't, but I know they want the hydration breaks, which is, by the way, very smart.
That is very smart.
And I was listening to a podcast. I don't know why they started talking soccer, but they did. And we're going to 64.
I was going to bring that up next.
Oh, well.
Whoa, Tauchy.
Tausch was ahead of the curve.
As he always is.
The FIFA World Cup expanded to 48 teams this year, and now they are already talking about making it
48 or 32?
48, and then they cut it down to 32 for the knockout round. Now they're saying expand it to 64 teams for the as early as the next one.
And everything is bracketed
now.
Or still pooled?
I don't think they said everything would be bracketed, but they wanted every...
Well, they can get 2 months' worth of TV out of it.
Why wouldn't they want every country to be able to fulfill its dream of contending on the biggest stage in the world is what...
And then would they go
FIFA
from 64 to 32 still, or would they go from...
Well, Tausch is the head of the curve on this. Why don't we ask him,
of FIFA? I legit think they should just have every country... Make this a huge global event. Have every country that ever has existed.
128?
No, there's more.
256? How many countries are there?
Probably 300-some.
How many countries are there?
So you have 300, you have 300-something, and then you can eliminate people via pool play, but you end up getting to 64, and then you fill out brackets, and you have bracketology, and then Lenardi
or somebody else comes in.
I don't want to be bracketology guy, but I would love to run this because these boys will make some money.
Google AI says...
It's 300-something.
Why are there so many answers to this?
What does Claude say?
There's 193, 195, 211, or 206.
Well, go with the most.
So all right, 211.
211 spots should be in.
So we don't have enough for 256.
Right? No, but you could maybe let some junior teams in. Some minor league squads.
Unincorporated countries? Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Once again, your soccer update brought to you by Discount Liquor. Stop by their Milwaukee or Waukesha
locations. They're here!
For all your tailgating needs. And do so before 1:30 this afternoon or tomorrow because you're going to want it for the 2 o'clock kick.
That's amazing
Central
that they
time.
Don't do that at 7 o'clock. It's amazing.
This is the last time planned, anyway, that we will all be on a live show together until after Packers Family Night. In August. Mm-hmm. Any bold predictions for what will transpire in the world of Wisconsin sports from now until the next time we are all together on what I believe is August 10th, my dad's birthday?
I think that the Brewers, it is going to be a dogfight with the Cubs to win the division.
I was going to say the Cubs will
overtake the Brewers. I think
it is going to
be razors thin by August 9th.
Well, I don't like that.
Go back
That's what I think is going to happen.
Down the stretch. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I don't like that at all. I don't think you're right either. I think the Cubs have...
What is it? The spread's only about 4 or 5 games.
Five games at the break.
That's not even that much.
The Brewers aren't... like. Let's not forget that just because they got swept by Pittsburgh, which, by the way, is that's the first time they got swept by a division opponent since 2022.
That's 3 years ago.
Exactly. That's a long time in baseball. Let's not pretend that just because they limped into the All-Star break and they got rained out Friday, they played 18 games in 17
days. Let's also not pretend Woody ain't pitching. Harrison's elbow, Lord knows what's going on. And they're resting
Miz
for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Let's not forget that, too.
But they're doing it strategically, going into and coming out of the All-Star break, so he's going to miss the
least amount
of starts
possible. What's strategic about Woody or Harrison?
No, the Miz part.
That's two of your top five.
I understand.
Do you?
I do. They also have a good arsenal of starting pitching. Gasser's good, despite what he looked like on Sunday.
Okay.
They have a good arsenal of starting pitching.
Stop saying arsenal.
Why?
I don't know.
That's
just
what it is.
The rocket ship.
It's the Super Bowl of up north. It's the Super Bowl of up north.
You have to make the stupid grin when you're imitating
it's
me.
It's fun.
You look like a caricature.
What?
I quit.
You can't quit.
Good run.
Yeah, heck of an 8-year run.
Well, what do you think is going to be the story on August 9th? Since you're going to disagree that
bold
this thing's going to be a dogfight.
Bold prediction for August 9th.
This is different than your hunch of the week, which you have
Von
a
Von Miller now. Will be a Packer.
I kind of want to say the Packers will have a surprise addition.
Somebody's having a baby?
I kind of want to predict that the Packers will have a surprise addition by family night. someone that they bring into camp that we do not have on our radar at this juncture in the newspaper.
Like, is that
otherwise.
A bold prediction? You didn't even say who it is.
I don't know who
it's somebody called Seth Walder.
Do we all agree Tucker Kraft's got a fat new deal with the highest paid tight end in the league, Biog 9? I will be shocked if I come back. And I'll be shocked, actually, if Jason, before Jason comes back, that Tucker
27th.
Kraft
is. You think they have it done by the start of training camp?
No, I disagree with Tausch. I do believe before Tausch is back, he will have a deal. I think it'll happen that first week of camp, maybe bleeding into the first few days of August. Again, he's
when
on
is,
the pop.
So we're going to have
family night is like the
No,
fifth.
When is the little stockholder deal bit? When
that's the that? Monday
that's
before
the 27th.
Camp starts.
I believe it's the day that, yes.
Yeah. You're back by then, so, okay. I'll pull the reins.
So there's going to be like a day or two where we're freaking out, like, how come Tucker Kraft doesn't have
I don't think anybody's freaking
no,
out.
No, because he's got the
he's bought the big house.
He doesn't – Tucker Kraft's going to be a G&G-er, period.
The only question is how much will they guarantee, because – he deserves to be guaranteed more than the other two wide receivers that they got to take less guaranteed money to stay on extensions. All right, that is Woe Nelly. Owen, did you feel like you had something you could have contributed there and Jesse just didn't give you the opportunity because he, you know, doesn't cede airtime when he's got it?
I probably would have talked about something with the home run derby last night. I really liked it.
You and Pass.
I liked it. I agree with Owen.
That's good stuff.
I now resume quitting.
We'll make those T-shirts right along with the I Agree with Tausch T-shirts. We will wrap things up from the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open at the Bog in Saukville next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Closing out Wilde and Tausch live from the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open at the Bog in Saukville. And I'm going to make the YouTubers happy as I turn the show over to Jesse for the big reveal of today's Steinhoffel Sleeper of the last 10 years presented by Steinhoffel.
Yes, sir. It is time to reveal who the mystery player for the week is. Once again,
that I got wrong on my way down.
I had my picture of me holding that trophy up. I look so slim in it from back in February.
I
got to scroll back down here. All right. Our clue this week, which you've seen throughout the show, if you've been watching along with us on our video stream, also posted to our social media platforms earlier this morning. This current player was born on September 2nd, 2000, the day his alma mater, Oregon State University, won the first of 11 games en route to what many consider the greatest football season in Beavers program history. He was born on the day they beat Eastern Washington by 2 points in their opener en route to an 11-win season and a win over Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl that year. That player is...
Ketan Oladapo.
Wrong.
That was what I guessed.
Who Jason thought it was in our text this morning, the first time I've stumped him this year. Tausch, any guesses?
No.
That player is Luke Musgrave.
21 miles per hour in that
is
first
that
training camp.
Is that right?
Luke Musgrave.
Should, yeah.
Born September 2nd, 2000. A lot of correct responses on the Carbless.
Did anyone say
ESPN.
Ketan Oladapo other than me?
I saw one Ketan Oladapo. So. Okay. But I think they spelled it Oladipo, which is a common thing. Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that a T? You put a T on the end of that then?
Oh, no. What?
You said Depot. If it's Depot, I would think people would spell it with a T.
No.
Oladipo.
I understand the confusion, though. Luke Musgrave is the correct answer.
Condescending Jesse is the most annoying.
I think we've got about 100.
How many different ones are there?
That's a good question.
Well, you're going to find out when I'm hosting with you a bunch the next couple of weeks. Isn't that right, fellas? I'm going to miss you guys. I love when we're all together for this show. I'm going to miss the three of us.
It's good to take breaks, though, too. It's good to take breaks.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. We'll be ready on August 10th.
My dad's birthday.
That's it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Thanks to Delzer. Thanks to the Bog. And thanks to you. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.